Lip smacking good. Hi, everybody out there. Welcome to another episode of Lip Smacking Good, where the motto of this show is, if your lips ain't smacking, it ain't good. I have a friend of mine, a buddy. If you listen to Where's My 40 Acre, she is the female voice who probably know more hip hop than most of y'all trifling ass niggas out there. This is the one and only Deidre. Tell everybody hi, Deidre.
Hey, everybody. Hope y'all doing good.
Tell everybody how to reach you and how to contact the show.
Oh, well, if you want to reach me personally, you know, I don't know if you want to, but anyway, my Twitter name is, Miss Music Lover. It's MS Music Lover, all one word. I am part of the Where's My 40 Acres podcast. Just a big old family. And, you can reach us at, thetearsoforphans.com. That is our website. Yeah. You know, we fancy, but if you have, anything as far as for like listening letters and stuff like that, you can definitely email us at where'smy40acres@gmail.com. We are also on Stitcher Radio. We are on iTunes. Our podcast is every Wednesday night at 9 a.m. You can catch us, you know, like I said, through iTunes. We also do a live podcast that time, and it is through Spreecast.
Cool. I am so excited about having Deidre on. Me and her was talking prior to the show. Y'all are in for a treat because she likes food like I like food. So this is going to be a yummy, yummy talking show right here. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited.
I'm excited.
Me too, Deidre. What inspired you to start cooking?
Being single.
Okay.
To be perfectly, that's part of it, but, you know, my mama always said, you need to learn how to cook because, you know, that is a necessity. And especially, you know, if you decide to have a family and stuff, you know, that's one thing that, you know, you should want to do, you know, provide for your family as far as for food. So, I mean, I started cooking at a young age. I would want to say, honestly, you know, as of now, maybe like the past couple of years, I've really been into expanding more than just like the Southern cuisine, like you grew up on.
Yeah.
So Food Network and, you know, the cooking channel has like really like opened my eyes to like
a lot of food.
Yeah. Like
stuff you wouldn't have thought about. Yes, ma'am.
It's, you know, and like, you know, from where I'm from, Charleston, like, we're known for, like, the seafood. So there's a lot of good restaurants. There's a lot of really, really good restaurants there, too. I will say that when I did move to Atlanta, like, just the different cultures and the different types of, you know, restaurants out here, that opened me up some, too. But I would want to say, yeah, like, definitely, like, the Food Network and, like, Chop, you know, TV shows and stuff like that. You'd be like, what is a purple sweet potato?
Right.
What's that?
Right. And Deidre, let me tell you how uneducated I was. They had a recipe on Food Network and they was like, use your Dutch oven. I didn't know what the hell a Dutch oven was. And I was like, well, fuck, do I have a Dutch oven? What is a Dutch oven? And I kept saying, is this a special type of oven? Girl, come to find out it's a pot, and I had the pot in the house the whole damn time. I was like, why the fuck do y'all call this a goddamn Dutch oven? It's just a type of pot. But I didn't know. I was just oblivious to it. And when I found out what it was, like you say, watching Food Network and all that stuff, she was like, yeah. And I put it in the Dutch oven. And she opened up a pot. I looked at that TV like, I got a pot like that. Oh, that's a Dutch oven. And I felt like a fool, but you learn and you're educated. And I think when you watch Food Network and the Cooking Channel, you'll start wanting to try the different foods, things that you would have never thought, combinations that you would have never thought about putting together,
absolutely,
or blending together. Because I was watching one of the things they had on, and they had a big old strawberry festival. And at the strawberry festival, they was covering, people had like different ways to make strawberries. And somebody had a strawberry taco. Never heard of it in my life. But when I tell you, that thing looked delicious and everybody that bit in it said it was good, I was like, you know what? I might be down for that, because I'm willing to try anything. I like to eat. I like to smack my lips. I like food. I'm not ashamed of it. Mm-mm. That's just one of my favorite things to do. What was your first meal you cooked? Or do you remember your first meal you ever cooked?
The first meal I've ever cooked was my grandmother taught me how to make shrimp fried rice.
Wow.
And I was like 4 years old. So, wow. And it was like the process of, you know, learning how to, you know, peel the shrimp and, you know, what we, you know, like the, you know, the back, the black thing that's out of it. We call it sand back in Charleston. So you like, you know, take the sand out. So it's really just divining the shrimp.
Okay.
And everything was from scratch, like, you know, cooking the rice, chopping up the onions. So just learning that process of these are the things that you have to do to make this meal. So yeah, shrimp fried rice, girl.
At 4, wow.
Yeah, 4 years old. I always remember that because I used to look at her. I mean, I used to be in the kitchen with my grandma because I was always a nosy child, you know, and, you know, I used to see her doing these things and, you know, the grandmother that taught me, she was a single mother, you know, so,
okay.
You know, it was like a lot of things she, you know, even at that point in time, she was doing on her own. So she was like, yeah, you want to learn how to make shrimp fried rice today? And I was like, mm-hmm. So yeah, that's the first meal I ever made.
Oh, where do you get your ideas from your meal? I know you're talking about Food Network and all that stuff, but are there anything particular that inspires you, or is just random, or just this is what I feel like doing today?
The way my weird mind works, it's just very random. So like I will be, it would be in the spur of the moment of me cooking, be like, oh, let me add this and see what it does. Or it could be like me just being greedy, thinking about food at work.
Right.
And, you know, thinking about, oh, what am I going to cook when I get home? And then be like, oh, I have this. What if I add this? Let me, you know, and just kind of getting that structure together before I, you know, actually do it. So it's just very random, you know. Yeah, the Food Network does, you know, a lot of times give me some inspiration on things. And really, and I would say too, just, you know, when you do go out to some of the restaurants, like, it's a lot of stuff that even though it's good, you can say, like, I can kind of make this, you know, at home.
Right.
And just trying to figure out, well, what did they use, and spices, mm-hmm. and ingredients.
Yes, I've gotten to the point now that I can taste food, and I might not be able to tell everything that's in it, but I have a close idea mm-hmm. of a lot of the major spices, per se, mm-hmm. that's in food. And like I said, I'm willing to branch out and I'm willing to try a lot of various different things.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how I am too. And one thing, and I'll say, you know, I don't know if this is available in all cities, but if you have a farmer's market, like, mm-hmm. please just take full advantage.
Some of the freshest items.
Yeah. And cheaper. Like,
right. Than the grocery store. Mm-hmm.
Much cheaper. From where, like, in Charleston, they have farmers markets, but the farmers markets are normally, like, they're outdoor and they're, like, you know, designated to a day. So, you know, like, the one near me in, you know, the area I used to grow up in, it was, like, every Tuesday. And, you know, I never used to go, you know, even though, like, my grandparents used to, like, you know, garden and have stuff out. So I understood the freshness of, you know, like,
right.
you know, vegetables and stuff like that, but just never, I don't know why I didn't click to go to the farmer's market for stuff, but like in Atlanta, it is bananas here. Right. Like there's I'm literally like
every day.
Two exits from a farmer's market, and their farmer's markets are humongous.
Mm-hmm.
They're indoor
right.
and they're like, they open at 8 a.m. and close at 10.
Every day of the week.
And it's like just everything there. And I just love the fact of, I'd be like, what the hell is this? Let me Google it. And
right.
I don't even pick certain things up. Like, you know, I usually try to say, like, every time I go to the farmer's market, I'll pick up, like, one or two items that I don't know what it is
right.
just to try it
mm-hmm.
to see, you know, if I like it. So it's a lot of stuff that I really liked, and I started incorporating, like that's not my buy now. Like, you know, like the purple sweet potatoes and the Chinese eggplants. And I found some white bell peppers the other day. Yeah, wow. they got white bell peppers. Like, they call them albino, and apparently they are, and I got some purple ones too. So they said apparently the white ones are, because they're very mild, so they tell you really use it for salads, because, like, you know, if you cook it, it will kind of turn the color whatever you're mixing it with.
Okay.
But they're white, and then when they pick them, you know, it stays that color. But if you leave it on the vine, they instantly turn red. And then the purple ones, the purple ones keep their color when they're cooked. They're a little bit more, I guess, peppery, like more on the green side.
Okay.
Green bell peppers level. But they're still good, too. But the white ones are really good in salads because they're crunchy. Yeah.
I'm looking like, where these colors go from? And you talking about
smart? They even have a brown one. They have brown, like they call them chocolate bell peppers.
Honey, I need to get my tail down there and find about these multicolored green peppers. And you said purple sweet potatoes? Purple potatoes or purple sweet potatoes?
They have both. They have purple. The purple potatoes, and then they have the purple sweet potatoes.
Are they actually purple?
Yeah, like you cut them, they're purple. They're really like a deep, you know, like a jewel color, like a dark purple. I noticed that I love the little purple potatoes because, you know, they're smaller. They're not usually big like the white ones.
Okay.
They're probably on the size. Maybe the size, if not smaller than like the red potatoes.
Okay.
But they're really good. They're kind of like a nuttier flavor.
Can you fry them and do the same thing you do with the other potatoes? Okay.
You can. Now the purple sweet potatoes are different.
Okay.
They're the same color, but the consistency is different. So you actually have to cook those because the skin is a little thicker. I found that you have to cook them a little bit longer than your normal sweet potatoes.
Okay.
And they are like a tad bit more starchier than, you know, what your normal sweet potatoes are, but they're still really good.
That's right. That sound right up my alley, honey. I've been coming in every day, but like, why is my plate look like a rainbow?
Yes,
by the time I get a hold of it.
And it's just, like I said, all these things I got from the farmer's market, I wouldn't find these things at Kroger or Walmart. Like,
no.
It's just the farmer's market, you know, you find these things. Like, I started buying this, it's called Flap, because everybody knows, like, I'm obsessed with the NutriBullet.
Okay.
So, like, I like kale, and I found out, because, you know, kale has that wax over it.
Right.
It'll be bitter a lot of times. Mm-hmm. So, one thing my cousin told me, and I don't know if anybody knew this, I probably was the only one that didn't know that, like, you can actually like use your hand and rub that wax off.
No,
and
I
it
didn't
cuts
know
all
that
wax taste, that sharp taste off.
Oh. And,
yeah, like he was cooking some one day when he came over and he kept palming the kale. I was like, why are you doing that? He said, oh, it takes the wax off. What? So when he cooked it, and, you know, he was palming it, taking that wax off, and he cooked it and it tasted very mild compared to, you know, like how I know about it, like if you put two in there.
And strong.
It'd be strong and real. You know, it has that bite to it.
Right, but overwhelming.
Exactly. And he said that's mostly that wax. So I started doing that, like, you know, palming them before I put them in my NutriBullet. But then I found this thing called a flowering kale. And it's actually a really pretty one. So it's whitish, and it has like these, colors like in between. It almost kind of looks like Swiss chard, but it's just white, and it has like these like orange and red, like it looks like, you know, growing in the middle of it. So they're much milder. They kind of almost are cabbage. It almost tastes kind of like cabbage.
Okay. And what's a Swiss chard?
Swiss chard is another family of the greens.
Okay.
So it's another type of green, and they're very, their leaves are green, but the stalk is like red.
Wow.
So they're very, they have a bite to them.
Okay, is that more similar to the turnip?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're more on the turnip side.
I bet you're thinking, yeah, that sounds like a turnip.
Mm-hmm. they're more on the turnip side. Like, you know how, like, your mustard and your collards are not as, you know, strong as, like, the turnip ones?
Right.
That's how, like, those Swiss chards are.
Right. And for me, when it comes, I'm bad at greens, but when I do try to cook them, I use those because they're harder. I mean, they're easier to cook down and they don't take as long and you're not trying to break down a leaf.
Yeah.
Man, the first time I cooked greens, I put them in the crock pot and it was terrible. And I tossed them in the trash can. They was like, why you toss all them greens in the trash can? I was like, it would never get done. They was like, you do them in the pot. I said, oh. So I'll be trying to encourage people. I'll be like, y'all just don't know. Whatever mistake you think you made, I have made too, so don't feel bad.
Mm-hmm, girl, I can't tell you. It took me a long, and I will stretch long for days, for me to finally get, you know, the method down to making, like, a good pot of collard greens. Because
it's not easy.
It is not easy. First of all, it is hair washing them motherfuckers.
And cleaning them.
Oh,
that's another reason why I use like the other ones, because the leaves are not as big. They're easier to, not trying to find it, it's easier to scrub and clean, like the process. Cause man, you get them big ass leaves, they basically fill up your whole sink. Mm-hmm. And you be like, God almighty, do I need to take a bath? You be done broke a sweat just cleaning them.
You got, they are processed cause you know, I learned to use salt water cause that helps clean the dirt. But okay. Then you gotta rinse them and rewash them. And,
right.
And flip leaves to make sure ain't no bugs.
Bugs in them, yeah. Cause you get them, they like in a bunch.
Uh-huh. It's just, so usually now I'll go lazy and just get the bag that's pre-cut.
Right.
I'll still wash those, but you know, at least I know they've been washed a couple times already.
Right.
And I don't have to rip up no stuff. So I usually just do that. But yeah, it took me a long time before I got like the pat down of making good collard greens.
That sound like a process. And you're into baking.
Yeah.
What are the different things you bake?
I'll just say, like, I honestly am like a newbie, I will say, to baking. Like, I used to bake little things here and there, but I honestly didn't start getting into baking until like a couple of years ago. You know, I starting to want to make things from scratch more so than the box.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like your pancakes and all that stuff, mm-hmm. like your biscuits. But so I pretty much do anything. So, you know, I make biscuits, I like making pancakes. You know, I'll go down, I like making cookies. So I'm known, like, my big thing right now that I will say for my job, people usually ask me for, is I make these Oreo cookies. So it's like crushed Oreos in cookie form.
Ooh.
And they have, you know, they have like the crushed Oreos, and I always use the double stuffed Oreo, to crush it and to, you know, and incorporate it in the cookie dough. And it also has white chocolate chips in it.
Oh my.
Yeah, they're really, really good. And then I also make a really good, dark chocolate caramel walnut cookie.
Shut your mouth.
Yeah, that's a popular one too. A lot of people like. And, so I do cakes. Brandon is obsessed with, I do, a buttermilk banana nut bread, well, banana nut, cake, and it has like a peanut butter glaze on it.
Yes, Brandon, I'm with you. That sounds delicious.
He's like obsessed with that. So, I do that. You know, I'll do pretty much any other cakes. I do also a really good apple cinnamon spice cake. It's in a bundt cake form. That's popular. And, of course, everybody, I don't know about everybody, but it's big for me to do chewies. Chewies are, I can't tell you what's in them because my mama would kill me.
Oh, no problem.
But, anybody from Charleston or just like the low country, like chewies, they're like these bars and they're really chewy. They kind of remind you of a blondie brownie, but it's not the same texture.
Okay.
And it's some different things that are, you know,
incorporated.
Yeah. They're very easy to make. I can, you know, make them with my eyes closed. I make so much of them. And they have powdered sugar on top.
Ooh.
So, and you can use, people usually use pecans. I like to use the walnuts, but you can use any nut. You don't have to put nuts in them, but I think my preference, they taste a little bit better with the nuts.
Okay.
In them. But, and yeah, you eat them and it has powdered sugar on top, but, they are absolutely crack in when they first come out. It is literally crack. Like my friend Karis that was, he was staying with me. He doesn't even eat sweets. Like he's not a big sweet person. So I used to bake these things and he would eat a pan. Like it would just be, he would just be like, Deidre, I don't know why you made these things because they're not going to last in this house. Like he would just eat them. And that's how they are. And then like the more that they sit, you know, even though they might not be as warm, the more chewier they get. So they're really, really good. And it's something that we eat in Charleston. So, yeah, next time you come down, I'm going to have to just send you some.
Ooh.
Some chewies.
Yeah, I had to send you the address. We're not that far away. Have you ever tried to make a fruit cake?
Yes.
Because fruit cakes are very difficult to make. I've seen the process and normally they dry and nasty and like a brick. So I have a tendency to stay away. It's rare that you find a moist fruit cake.
Yeah, fruit cake is, I usually, if I make a fruitcake, I don't make a whole lot of them. Like, I've made, like, a couple for Christmas. And I usually just use the same process that I do with my apple cinnamon spice cake.
Okay.
And I usually just, and first of all, I don't do that loaf crap. Like, no. Like, it's going to come to you in the bundt cake form.
I don't blame you.
Take it or love it. And usually with the fruitcake, and I think that's with a lot of just, you insert stuff into like you know cake form, It is your batter. Like your batter is, you know, your base pretty much,
right?
So even if you have additions to it, because if you think about it, fruit is really not like, it's not a drying thing.
Mm-mm.
You know, if anything it should add moisture,
right?
You know, depending on the things you put in it. And you know, with fruit cakes it's like raisins and pineapples
and nuts
and cherries.
Right.
Yeah.
A lot of it is just dried fruit.
Yeah, so it shouldn't be anything that should be drying your stuff out. So it's probably your batter. And a lot of times when you have like dry stuff, it's usually you don't have enough butter or you have too much flour.
Oh. Hmm.
So that's usually, you know, because you always want to have something that's, that keeps the moisture in, like buttermilk, or, you know, you see people say that they'll put in their, in the chocolate cakes, they'll actually use the mayonnaise. Yeah.
Mayonnaise?
Because it's a fat, you know.
Oh.
So, you know, you want that fat. You know, you need that fat. So that's why they tell you with bacon, especially with cookies and cake, but just, you know, in bacon in general, always use real butter. Like, never use margarine.
Okay.
Because it's a drying agent. So, one, it'll make it drier, and then, like, your cookies will come out like little cake things. Like, it doesn't spread like it's supposed to.
Oh, when it's baking, how it spread. Mm-hmm. You know, because you know me, I do little Keebler things where you take the little squares, you put them in, and they spread out so it doesn't,
yeah,
like, it don't spread out even like it's supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one of those type of girls.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you know, they tell you, you know, with moisture, it's the fats. So, in baking, like I said, especially with cookies. You know, definitely use your butter. Do not go cheap and get margarine. You know, I know some people, they'll use like the vegetable oil or the, like the lard. I've never used it, but it's a fat. So I can see why it would work, but
right.
Yeah, definitely use butter. And then, one thing I've also learned from trial by making cookies from scratch is, brown sugar, like you want equal parts of brown sugar and white sugar. And brown sugar makes anything more like chewier.
Okay.
You know, and white sugar makes things crispier.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So that's why they tell you with the cookies, you know, you do like you do equal parts of brown sugar and, you know, white sugar. But if you want like more of a crispier, you can add a little bit more white. If you want more of like a chewier, softer, you know, you add a little bit more brown.
Ooh, have you ever did oatmeal cookies?
Yes. I do a really good caramel apple oatmeal cookie.
Caramel apple? God almighty.
Yeah, cookies are so, and this, they're, I mean, once you get, and I think this is with anything with bacon, like with cooking, you can kind of like eye things.
Right, with baking, with,
it gotta be precise.
Right, because you mess around and mess everything up.
Exactly. So your flour, if you got like even like a little bit too much flour, you will taste the difference. If you have too much, you know, even if you have too much butter, you know, it won't, it'll spread, but then it'll be oily. Like you can tell when you don't put the preciseness of each, you know, item, you know, if you use baking powder instead of baking soda, like, you know, stuff like that. But, but once you get like your base, like if you have just a really good base cookie dough recipe and like a really good base, like, you know, cake mix, you know, you can kind of like spread out from there.
Cool. And, like frosting, like when you do your cream cheese frosting, cause I got a cream cheese frosting and yours is probably better. But the way I do, I use like 2 sticks of cream cheese and I use, 8 ounces of the Cool Whip and beat it together and make cream cheese.
That does sound good though. Yeah, cream cheese, frosting, all frosting really is really like milk and a whole bunch of powdered sugar.
Like, oh, okay. See, I'm talking about cream cheese. She's talking about milk and butter.
you can add your, like, you know, you add your cream cheese in that too, but.
Okay.
Yeah, frosting is very easy to make. So, but it is mostly powdered sugar.
Oh.
It is mostly powdered sugar. So, but that, the way that you do yours, that actually sounds really good because it's probably, it reminds you of like that whipped.
Right, you know, right. Frosting, it was stiffer, you know, because my problem was that I was like, why I look like I'm pouring water across my cake? I was like, this is supposed to spread, not melt. I was so confused. And so somebody.
It probably was the Cool Whip, but that, I mean, this does still sound good. But yeah, frosting is, like, if you find, like, a good frosting, a basic vanilla frosting recipe that you can master and it's good, you can just add whatever. So you can add strawberries, make a strawberry one, you know, you can do your cream cheese and make a cream cheese one, add some sprinkles of cinnamon, and now you have a cream cheese cinnamon frosting. Like, that's what I tell people. If you have your base, you can go so far with ideas and things like
and
that.
See, that's why folks like me don't, you know, that's why I leave the bacon to Deidre, because honey, if I bake, I probably be done ate everything.
I have to stop. No, see, me and you are on the same page. Like,
I couldn't survive because I would make it and it would have to be shipped out immediately. Like, it couldn't sit around the house, if that makes sense. Like, I make it and it got to go.
Me and you on the same page, girl. Like, usually if I bake, it is because somebody's here and, you know, I'll bake then. You know, if somebody asked me to bake something like for work or like, yeah, if I'm shipping stuff out, like, you know, like we did donations at one point and, you know, like anybody who had like $25 and above, you know, I would send out a box of, you know, just baked goods, just random stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I was doing that, but. You know, like, I'll get not bored, but if I'm frustrated or just, you know, like, I just need to take my mind off stuff or stressed, right. I will bake. That's one of my many things. I'll start baking.
Okay.
But it has to immediately get out this house because I will eat it all. So I will be like, I will bake it because before I used to eat it and I gained all the damn weight. So now I will bake it and I will wrap that sucker up and be like, this is going to my job in the morning.
Right. Somebody gonna eat it and it won't be me.
Yes, because I will eat this whole pan, like, with the quickness, because I love sweets. Like, love them.
I have a super duper duper, I have a sweet tooth. So I love sweets. Like, and it's funny though, as I didn't realize certain foods turn into sweets, you know, because my doctor was talking and we was talking about, like, you know, eating better and health. That's one thing about getting older, Lord Hammer. Now you got to watch your cholesterol, your blood pressure, you know, you can't eat this, you can't eat that. You're like, oh, this is, you know, I don't mind being old, but that's the downside. Your metabolism don't run as much as used to, your body breaking down. So it's, you know, that's one thing about being old. And so she was talking to me and she was like, I was like, I like sweets. I like sugar. And she was like, well, you eat a lot of potatoes? I said, yes, I love potatoes. She said, yeah, potato turned into sugar. I said, damn it. I almost got mad with her. It was her fault. But I didn't know. Yeah. All I know is like, potatoes is good and I like potatoes.
And I love sweet potatoes.
Yes, did you? Yes. What I like to do with the sweet potatoes is that I like to, you can either do this on the grill or in the oven. And I know people have probably told, heard me say this before, but you actually, I like to do it with sweet potatoes. I actually take potatoes and cut them like you're going to do scallop potatoes. Mm-hmm. And put some aluminum foil and I layer it. I layer sweet potatoes. I layer, brown sugar. Mm-hmm. I layer cinnamon. I layer butter. And then I put sweet potatoes and layer it all the way up onto the top and wrap it. And I like to put it on a grill for like 15 to 20 minutes. The whole air will smell like a sweet potato pie.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, and if I don't, or if I can't grill, I'll put it in the oven. In the oven, I do about 350, you know, 375, about 15 to 20 minutes, but I like to put it outside because, you know, all that sugar and all that stuff, it will start cooking together and the whole air will smell like a sweet potato pie. And when I tell you, when you pop that sucker open, because you cut them so thin, all the cinnamon and the brown sugar and all the butter that you put across there has sunk down into the potatoes. DJ, when I tell you that right there is awesome. That is awesome. Like I said, when I tell people I'm a potato girl, I am a potato fanatic. Also, when I do white potatoes, I like to do this with white potatoes. White potatoes I do the same thing, but with the white potatoes, I do white potatoes. I chop up onions. I chop up garlic. I do your seasoning salt. Sometimes I do garlic salt. And the same thing, I layer it up and wrap it up. And when I tell you, when you punch down in it, all that stuff has sunk down into the potatoes. Honey?
Ooh, that sounds good.
When I tell you it is delicious, it is delicious. Like I said, I am a potato. And before you were talking about mayo, and mm-hmm. I had Andre Joseph on, and we were talking about grilled cheese, and he was saying if you take your grilled cheese and instead of using mayo, instead of using butter, use mayo on your bread. And I looked sideways, but did you? Because I was like, what the hell am I doing with some mayo? But I was like, I'm going to try this. Mm-hmm. Y'all, that was the best damn grilled cheese sandwich I've had in my life. Wow. Instead of putting butter, put mayo or spread mayo across your bread and put it on that grill and give it about 2 to 3 minutes. Your bread will brown and it'll be crispy. And you flip it over and you do it to the other side. And when I tell you, it is really, really good. And it does not take as long as butter. Because when you talk about that fat content, like you say, it sticks to the bread as a fat content. Uh-huh. And so when you put the mayo on your bread and you could do Miracle Whip or mayo and put it down there. I tell y'all, cause I really was looking at him sideways. That was the best grilled cheese sandwich. I bit in that sucker. I was like, God almighty. I was like, I found me a winner. So when I be finding out tips, y'all, I'm let y'all know because that's I really looked at him sideways. I was sitting here on the podcast going, mayo, you mayo. I was like, I'm gonna try it, but I'm still, you know, I'm still going mayo. Even through the whole process, I was like, mayo. because it's kind of outside of the box.
Uh-huh.
You know, when you're thinking about that, because he was saying he made peanut butter and jelly chicken wings.
I've had strawberry chicken wings. So I can.
Ooh, Lord.
There's this place here called Jack's Pizzas and Wings, and they're known for one of the things they're known for is they have crazy stuff, and they're known for their strawberry wings. They have a honey bourbon wing that's really good, and then they're also known for their soul food pizza. Ooh. And it has fried chicken, mashed potatoes, and greens on it with gravy.
On the pizza?
On the pizza.
Wow.
Uh-huh. On the pizza, girl.
And see, you know what? I would probably lose my mind. Because and my husband laughs at me because I tell people, I love to eat. And when I eat and it's really, really good, and Roger can tell when food is really, really good to me. I will tap my feet. I'll start humming. I'll start swearing at the table. Like, I don't think people understand.
I'm the same. Like, I get, you, how can you not get, like, bouncy and happy? Like, right. I get, like, I start humming.
Right.
Is it so good?
And
you just
swaying.
Be quiet. Like, I'm just in the zone of this deliciousness.
Right. And you just, and especially if it's something different. And I think because I grew up with fish, chicken, hamburgers, hot dogs, and a lot of my family still eat like that today. And I tell them, I'm like, y'all know what? It is too much food in the world to limit what you eat.
Exactly.
And even those foods can be presented in so many, everything ain't gotta be fried. You know,
yes.
And, you know, it could be barbecue, Korean barbecue. Like, you can go, honey, when I tell people I have branched out tremendously as far as what I'm willing to eat and what I'm willing to try. I've had
right.
bison. Bison is actually delicious. A bison burger. Mwah. I tell you, it was delicious. It was really, really good. And even when I do my grilled cheese, I like to do like the grilled cheese, tomato, and bacon.
Ooh.
When I tell y'all, y'all ain't had nothing yet till you've had that.
That sounds so good.
Right. Especially if you get you make like that thick cut bacon and you fry real, real good and make it crispy
yes.
and get you a big old fashioned country tomato and cut it.
A good tomato. Ooh.
Yeah, because see, tomato, you know, and I love tomatoes too because tomatoes has a lot of sugar in it. And I have not found this tomato, but we went to a restaurant and I bit into a tomato and it was the sweetest tomato I've ever had in my life. I bit it like an apple, honey, and I ate them all. I was like, I do not know what kind of tomato this is, but this tomato is delicious. You know, because like I said, I like that sweet, that sugar. You know, and so if I ever bite into that tomato again, I will know what it is. I'll never forget the name of it.
You'll always remember how it tastes.
What, forever and ever in Samoa, because Roger got some Tomatillo's tomatoes. I might be mispronouncing it, but he has this thing where it's this, I'm proud of my husband because he's getting more into cooking. So
yeah.
He has this shrimp and tomatillo thing he does where he is like coconut milk and shrimp and all this stuff and put them tomatoes in it. When I tell you that
ooh.
Is everything, it is everything.
That sounds good.
Right. And he's actually getting more into the crock pot. I know a lot of people don't do crock pots, but crock pots
is good. Great.
Crock pots is everything. It's set it and forget it.
Yes.
Especially if you're busy and you have a lot of stuff to do.
Going on,
it is everything. I make this corn chowder. It might be a soup / chowder, but I call it corn chowder. Well, I do like yellow corn, I do white corn, I do cream corn, and I'll chop up like onions, I'll chop up tomatoes. I mean not tomatoes, I'll chop up onions, I'll chop up potatoes, I'll chop up green peppers. Eggplant, almost anything that I have in there, and mix it up in there, and let it cook, and I add like half and half of either whipping cream, and but you do that like at the end, at the kind of like the ending level of it, you know, because of the milk, and then you can chop tomatoes, but you don't. I wouldn't do the tomatoes to the end of it,
so it don't get mushy.
Right. And yeah, I learned that the hard way too. Yeah, I ain't know that either. So for those of you out there, tomatoes go last. Tomatoes and shrimp.
Yeah,
because
you don't want your shrimp to be overcooked.
Right.
So that should be your, like, the stuff that, yeah, you don't want overcooked or mushy is the last things to put in there.
Right. Your hard stuff, like your meats and your potatoes normally go at the very, 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 and your carrots, that's another hard substance. Your celery, those things normally go at the bottom behind it. I learned that from trial and error. And you also do beers. Tell us about your beers.
Oh, girl. I'm drinking a beer now. So my beer story is, you know, another thing that I did not get into until later on in life. I always thought beer was disgusting.
Me too, honey.
It tastes like piss water.
Right.
Like, what the fuck are y'all drinking? Like, I was like that for years. Like, through college, just what have you not. Because
it's a bitter taste.
Yeah, it's just this nasty, bitter taste. And then I realized that, you know, that's because I was drinking cheap-ass beer.
Right.
But at that point in time, I only thought that was the only type of beer out. So, one of my coworkers back home, she's really big on like craft beer and stuff like that. So she was talking to me about craft beer and I was like, girl, what? And cause she's a white girl. So I'm thinking like, oh, this is white people stuff. I don't know that much about this. And she was like, no, like, you know, she says, once you try craft beer, it'll open your mind up. So she's like, let's go after hours, like after work. It was this place, called Liberty Tavern, and they actually have a little brewery inside there, you know, so they have their own types of beers, but they do these things called, and a lot of places do, they call them flights. So what a flight is that they're probably like a half glass, and you get maybe about four or five of them, and they usually try to section it off as four or five different types of beers.
Okay.
So, you know, you have like your porters, your stouters, your wheats, your whites. You know, you can, I mean, the gamut is everything. The IPAs, which is the Indian Pale Ales. They have American Pale Ales, like brown. This is a lot. So they usually, you know, section it off. So you'll get a flight of IPAs or a flight of wheats. So they normally try to do it like that unless they want to just mix it up. But she gave me a flight of wheats. And I always remember the first beer I ever tried was it was Fat Tire by New Belgium, and that's actually a pale ale.
Okay.
But that was my first one that I tried, and then I got this flight of wheats, and you know, which includes the Blue Moon, because Blue Moon's a wheat beer.
I love Blue Moon.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of people love Blue Moon, and I always tell people, if you, any craft beer, you will always find Fat Tire and Blue Moon on tap. No matter where you go, one or the other or both will be on tap.
And I think the thing about Blue Moon, the reason why I like it is because it's not all bitter like the rest of them.
Yeah, it's a wheat. And normally, like all your wheat, normally wheat beers, they are very mild. Like your white beers in the same way, they're very mild. Okay. And you will see a lot of them, especially during like the spring summer months.
Right.
Because, you know, the whole premise is, you know, easy drinking because you're going to be outside and it's going to be hot.
Right.
You know, you want an easy drinking beer. Like, you know, you really don't want to be drinking a porter outside because it's a heavier beer, you know. But anyway, so, yeah, I got this wheat flight and I liked it. And I jotted down some, you know, the names of the breweries and the brands. And, you know, we had a Total Wine in, you know, where I lived, and
that's the best place ever.
Yeah. I'm still that's why I moved where I'm at, because Total Wine is literally like 5 minutes away from me. But Total Wine is actually like a lot of grocery stores now, like the Kroger's and stuff, I noticed are starting to do this, but, Total Wine, especially, you can make your own six pack. So instead of you buying one type, like you're not buying like a flat, you know, a Fat Tire, a six pack, they have a bunch of single, you know, beers, and they usually have it sectioned off. On one side is usually the domestic stuff, which is basically everything brewed in the United States.
Okay.
And they have that broken down to by types. So, you know, like I said, they'll have your ciders, gluten-free beers, and then they'll go down the gamut from lightest to darkest. So, you know, like your white, your wheats. And then they'll go down the gamut until, like, you get to your porters and your stouts. And then they have, like, the specialty beers, which is, you know, if there's, like, a hybrid or something or a fruit, like, something like that, they'll have that. And then on the opposite side is your international beers. So they'll have that section off by area. So you have all, like, your Belgium, you know, your Caribbean, your England, which is where you find your Newcastle. That's an England a beer brewed in England, Japan. So they'll have it like that. But you can like pick them, and they have them, you know, of course, usually the internationals are a little bit more expensive.
Okay.
Or if it's a popular, like maybe a specialty beer might be a little bit expensive, but you know, you can get like a bottle for like $1.50, you know, whatever. So you can make your own six pack.
Okay.
And then they have also a section called your seasonal. So they do seasonal beers. So you're, you know, they all do, you know, they have, like I said, the fall, winter, and, you know, your spring, summer. And, like, your falls, like, right now, it's more into, like, Oktoberfest.
Yeah.
So it's, like, pumpkins.
Yes.
Spice. So you see a lot of pumpkin beers, especially. Yeah. So you'll see a lot more of those for the fall. Like, your winter, they'll call them winter warmers. So they're more heavier beers with more alcohol content in them because it's supposed to, you know, warm you up when you drink them.
Okay.
It's cold outside. And then, like, your spring and summers, like I said, they're normally, like, you know, like your white beers, even though it could be anything. But they're particularly more like your wheat beers because it's the premises of you supposed to drink them outside. So, you know, you don't want nothing heavy with a lot of alcohol in it. But, you know, you could just pick all of these things and make a six-pack and just try them. And that's how I started. Like, I just pick random stuff and, you know, just try it at home, see what I like. And then, you know, you might start liking, like, a particular brewery, you know. And, you know, you can kind of know, like, oh, you know, I really like, you know, Victory Brewery because they make really good beers.
Okay.
Or, you know, like Newcastle or Terrapin and stuff like that. So that's how it started for me. And it just went through the roof after that.
Do you make these at home? Like, do you make these, or these are beers that you purchase?
These are beers I purchase. I actually have a brewing, you know, stuff for brewing. Like, I have things with yeast and everything. Mm-hmm. The thing about beer is it is very time consuming to make. So, you know, and it's a process. I'm not fully, like, I'm still trying to, like, learn.
Okay.
You know, cause it's like a lot of different conditions. Like, you know, it has to be dark. Mm-hmm. You know, and like I said, just, you know, when you brew your beer, it's not going to be like, you know, you brew it and it'll be done the next day.
Mm-mm. Sometimes it takes days and weeks, sometimes depends.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. it also depends too on like the items that you put into it, you know.
Okay.
So, I'm going to get that there soon, but I have the stuff. So if y'all see me tweeting like, I made this beer, y'all know I did it.
Honey, I can't wait. I'm excited about that. What food events do you look forward to? Or have you already been to? Because, you know, this is the time of the year where everybody's wrapping up or may have already had a lot of their food festivals.
This is another thing about Atlanta. Like, if I don't go to the gym and get somewhat of a figure,
workout.
They would have to roll me out every single day to work. Because it is so much food stuff going on here. It's just ridiculous. But the last thing I went to was they actually had a barbecue festival a couple of weeks ago. And, girl.
I bet it was everything.
It was so everything. Like, it was another place. I was like, can y'all just roll me to the car? Like, it was all these, and it was not just places that actually had their stuff, like the Jim and Nick's, you know, and stuff like that. But there were actually people who had these crazy names, you know, that were in competition. So you got to try their stuff, too. And you saw these pigs, like, you literally saw a slaughtered pig, like, chilling because they about to throw that back in.
Get,
you know,
the business.
The pit.
Yes.
I mean, it was just, like, they were there. They were serious. Like, you know, y'all know there's some fresh meat. Y'all see this pig.
Right.
Like, it was just...
We ain't playing with y'all today.
We are not playing with y'all. This is not frozen. This is fresh
right.
off this pig. Y'all about to
right.
eat this.
We just killed this. We just killed this pig.
We just found this a couple hours.
Fresh from the farm.
Running down Northside. Like, right. Yeah, we about to roast this in a couple of minutes. Like, it was so much food, girl, and it was so good. And then, you know, you had your places that in there, they had, like, their, you know, if you wanted fish, something a little bit different. But I did try for the first time there a fried brownie.
Hmm.
And it was actually really good.
Oh.
Yeah, I never had a fried brownie. And they did, of course, the fried Oreos, but the brownie was actually really, really good. Like, I guess the way that they fried in smaller portions.
Okay.
But I think it was how they did the dough. So it tasted more, I guess, not taste, but the consistency was like a tempura mix that was a little bit thicker.
Okay.
So
okay.
It didn't mess up the brownie, but okay. It was good.
Yeah, I've never had that. I'm scared of an Oreo. You know, because that's one thing about being older. I like a lot of food, but some stuff you hear, you be like, ooh, I could see just some sugar just going through the roof. My cholesterol, just been like, not today.
Yeah, I never had a fried Oreo, but you know, I guess it's something that if you go to any fair, you can find.
Right.
So I never really seen the brown, you know, the fried brownies.
That, now that's like, different. Like I would be willing to try that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, that was really, really good.
Yeah. I will be willing to try that. And I will try a lot of it. Have you ever had frog legs?
Yes.
How do they taste? I've never had it.
You know how they say the cliche thing? Oh, it tastes like chicken.
Yeah.
It really does. I've never cooked frog legs. Mm-hmm. I heard it's a process, you know, like it's a technique of cooking them.
Okay.
And I learned that from Chop. So I was like, oh, I guess I need to read up on that. But yeah, it tastes like chicken, but it's, I guess it's nothing really I would want to buy.
Okay. Yeah.
But you know, it was just cool to try them.
Okay, cool. Cause I've seen a lot of stuff. Like I said, I'm branching, and when I go out to eat, a lot of times I try to look for different and weird things that, you know, you normally will not get to eat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've had it at a restaurant. So it was kind of like, I'll try it. Cause you know, I never tried it, just to say that I had it.
Right.
And I think at that particular time, it was a lot of, vegetables I hadn't tried either. So I actually tried artichoke for the first time and I loved it. And I was like, I got to figure out how to make this. So, I ended up finding a really good recipe and, learning how to roast them. Cause I know a lot of people, they'll steam them, but girl, now the roasting, it takes a minute. It's like an hour and a half.
But it's probably worth it, isn't it?
Oh, girl. So like, the artichoke, like, it's very easy to, like, assemble, because you basically just, like, cut a third of the top off. And see, I love garlic. Like, especially as a lady, like, I'm obsessed with garlic. So, like, you peel, like, the garlic, and you, like, stick the cloves in between, like, the leaves. And then, you know, you drizzle olive oil, and then, like, some salt, pepper, and then, like, some lemon juice.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just wrap them, double wrap them up in aluminum foil and just throw them in the oven at 400 for like an hour and a half.
Mm.
But girl, when they come out.
I bet they're probably outstanding.
Like you don't need no dip. You don't need to melt no butter. It is so good. Oh, it's so good.
That sounds like everything.
I'll kill two artichokes with ease and like not even blink an eye.
Like a champ, don't, honey. But I just, me and you is on the same page when it comes to that. So don't feel bad at all.
Oh, they're so good.
What is your favorite thing to eat that you don't make?
Well, I don't make hummus, and I really do love hummus as of lately. Mm.
That's chickpeas, right?
Mm-hmm, it's the chickpeas.
Yeah, I found out what they look like today. I didn't know what chickpeas was, and I messed around, and you're not trying to be fun, because I thought hummus was like a white thing. When you go, they always be having hummus and dips and chips, and, you know, I'm black, and niggas be like, what the hell is a hummus, and why I look like this, and why I got all that stuff? Because it's just your ignorance to it, because, you know, most black folks don't eat hummus.
Right, and that's how my mama was, and now she texting and talking, but I like hummus now. I said, oh, that's so funny, because y'all used to fry your face up. What I used to eat it. Right. Like, what are you eating?
Right. And my family do that too when I come around and they'll be like, ooh, what's that? And they'll say, you know, but oh, I like this. You're like, mm-hmm.
Yeah, so hummus would definitely be one. I've been really into that. And and I need to stop eating this, but there is this gelato and it's called Saliti.
That's Italian ice cream, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Girl, like, so, and these jars ain't cheap. So, like, the little pint is, like, maybe about between $4 or $5, depending on
what you know, and I've seen them, and I've always wanted to get it. But girl. I wonder, but you know what? They must be good, because every time I go in there, and not trying to funny, the white folks be cleaning out, because I go to the white folks grocery store. And when I go in there, and that stuff be on sale, it be cleaned out.
It be cleaned out, and I be one of them.
And I'd be like, I'm going to have to try this one day, because it sounds delicious.
You will... Because, first of all, it's not as sweet. It's not as sweet, like you know, because from what I've read, like, when they make gelato, they make it in smaller batches.
Okay.
So, it's not like this, I'm going to make this big old batch of ice cream and, right. You know, put them all in a little tub. Like, this, they make it in smaller batches, so they're more, like, fresher and, you know, and then they use like the milk and, you know, like the cream and stuff like that. But this Talentian, I found out they're actually made out in Marietta, which I'm going to have to find where that at. But they, oh, their gelato is so good. And I think I messed around because I saw people on Twitter, a couple people on Twitter talking about how great they are. And I bought, you know, I bought a little jar. The jars are cute because they're plastic and have like a screw top on them. Mm. So, you know, you can wash them out and use them for other items.
Okay.
So I, you know, I bought, the first thing one I bought was a sea salt caramel.
Ooh, this sounds delicious.
And girl, the sea salt caramel, so it's caramel gelato and it has like chunks of, yeah, like chocolate covered, caramel truffles.
Yes, ma'am.
I annihilated that little pint.
That
and
sounds delicious.
I was
delicious.
Like, I need more.
Right.
So, and I have pretty, I haven't tried all of them, but they have, so they sell gelato and sorbet. So I've tried their mango sorbet, which is so good. But, ironically, when I went to New York a couple of months ago, I saw flavors that I've never seen here, and the people make the stuff here in Atlanta. So I was like, why do y'all have these extra shit that they don't have here?
They're not right.
You know, I was like, I've never seen this. So they had like a raspberries and cream, and then they had like a strawberry one, and then they had this wild cherry one.
Yes,
which
ma'am.
Is really, really good. But my favorite one that they just put out a couple of months ago, and I have been hitting up Kroger ever since for them, is they make a caramel apple pie.
Gelato?
Yes. So it is cinnamon, gelato, and it is like swirls of caramel, and there's chunks of apple, and there's chunks of pie crust.
Girl, are you serious?
Get your life, girl. Yes. I sat down and I said, well, I might as well just make sure to go tomorrow and get another one because I'm eating all of this right now.
Well, I tell you one thing. I'm going to have to tell Mr. Tita up. We call Harris Tita, Mr. Tita. I'm going to have to tell him up because, honey, and that's down here. That's where a lot of white folks go shopping. Honey, Harris Teeter is everything. Honey, you walk in there, they had their own dedicated wine section. They have people there. You could ask them questions about the wines. Honey, you walk in there, the people give samples of wine. I'm like, would you like some wine? Would you like some cheese? Honey, you ought to, I'll be tanned up. I'm like, yeah, I'll take this little sippy cup of wine and I'll take these cheese and crackers, ma'am. Yes, I will. You know, that's when you know, that's when you know you in a white grocery store. You know, the black grocery store, you know, you got some, you know, sausage links, you know, little stuff like that. They ain't giving you no good shit.
You and your food lines.
right. You in the food lines. Well, you know, they be like, yeah, Marcus, you know, whatever the stuff you probably can already eat. You know, Jimmy Dean's, here's the new Jimmy Dean's. When they're talking about, ooh, would you like this wine? I'm like, yes, it's so-and-so. Ray, the grapes was so-and-so. And they'll tell you all about the venue. And I'm sitting there going,
Honey? We got Harris Cedar back home. And, you know, like one thing I always say about Harris, because like Atlanta, just all Atlanta has is Kroger. And they got a sprinkle of Publix's.
Okay.
And Walmart. They got a lot of Super Walmart.
Publix is new here. We got the Publix because I think Publix bought Balo. And so, Balo is a Balo up the street to shut down and they're in the process of changing that to a Publix. So within the next few weeks, I get to tell y'all about Publix, but.
Publix uppity too now.
That's what I heard.
I won't say, because we got a Publix in Charleston. I remember we got a big old Publix. Publix. One is on the same wavelength as Harris Teeter.
Okay.
But I will say, now, Harris Teeter probably is a little bit more uppity.
Okay.
Now, Publix has some really good, like, their bakery is really good.
Okay.
You know, their meat section is really good. And I remember when Publix were in their first open in Charleston, on Saturdays, they used to have samples everywhere. So you used to go there, girl. Bakery had a sample. The meat people was cooking something over there. They had a sample. They had drinks over there in the fruit aisle. Like, it was like you going to Sam's or something and you just trying stuff. And I used to always tell my mama, you going to Publix today? Because you used to, like, get food. Like, they always was cooking something.
Right.
But
yes.
They they stopped that because I guess black people was like, girl, we going in here and trying some stuff.
Right.
So they stopped that real quick. But I just remember the Harris Theater back home. And the, when you said the wine section, mm-hmm. how they got hardwood floors in the wine section.
Yes.
And I was like, mm-hmm. this the wine?
Right.
And it is rows and rows of wine.
And honey, they have it by the countries. You'd be so confused in there. But honey, when I tell you I don't mind getting lost, I just be getting lost in the wine section. I love it. And when you talk about going to the Harris Teeter, honey, they have like these little trays, these little flat trays where you open them up and they be having all kinds of little treats in there. We actually went to the Harris Teeter, honey, one time. They had I think they got like a new meat vendor. We went to the Harris Teeter on Moorcroft. That's one of the larger Harris Teeters. I love this Harris Teeter. Every year, this Harris Teeter literally gets remodeled. Like every year and a half. You go in there, you be like, God damn, y'all don't revamp this place? And next thing you know, they got a new section, a new wing. You be like, what the hell is going on here? So I don't mind paying $3 extra per item because you're gonna get your money's worth when you walk in there. And then you walk in there, they got the Starbucks connected. You know what I'm saying? So you put like this. When they ain't like Walmart. If it's 14 aisles, yeah. and if it's Christmas, all 14, all 25 aisles gonna have a cashier and a bagger. And they're gonna have 8 managers on the floor. So, yeah, you might be paying $5 extra per item, but you know what? If I decide that I'm missing something, I will go there because I know I'm gonna be in and out. And you know what I'm saying? Like, you're not gonna be standing in line for hours.
Exactly.
So, yeah. I don't have a problem with that. The Harris Teeter we went to, I said about the Harris Teeter, they had got a new meat vendor, and they were actually giving samples of steak. Honey, we went out there, they was frying, the lady was frying, she said, yeah, we got some steaks, y'all want some steaks? I said,
what?
Yes. I said, yes, ma'am. That, you see, that's when you know you're on a white sanitary.
Yeah, and you know that is like prime cut steak they was frying too.
Girl, and that grill, with that filling the air, and it was everything. They even had we went to one Harris Teeter, the Chick-fil-A cow was in there handing out chicken sandwiches.
What?
I had to take a picture with him because I didn't believe the Chick-fil-A cow was in the Harris Teeter. Because the Chick-fil-A, the Chick-fil-A is right across the street. So they was promoting Chick-fil-A. And we walked in and next thing you know, I was like, what is that? It was you know how they had a mascot, the cow trying to eat more chicken. And I was looking at him. I was like, what is he handing out? I say, is he handing out a $6 chicken sandwich?
I got weak. What?
Yes, honey. And I sure got one and I gave Roger one. But I wasn't even hungry. I ate it because he gave it to me. I said, I'm not trying to get no $6 chicken sandwich.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
See, that's the type of stuff that I tell you, honey, you ain't lived until, I tell people, I ain't never been to Whole Foods and all these other places, but I tell you one thing, you ain't lived until you've been to a Harris Teeter. Harris Teeter is everything.
Yes.
What is your favorite food that you stash from others?
One is that like the Talenti, I kind of get like frown face when you be like, I want to try.
I don't know about this. You should have let me know. I'd have bought you one. Right.
Yeah, you get a half a spoon.
Not a half a spoon.
You can taste. That's what we said. You can taste a little bit. But don't get no, just don't think you're about to eat it. Like,
right.
I will get, I actually, and people think I'm crazy, and people really don't eat it, but I don't like to share this at all with people. Like, I am obsessed with pot stickers. Like, dumplings,
yes. Especially if they're done right. It's some of the best kind, honey. Most people do get pot stickers, and they can be out of shrimp, they can be out of chicken, they can be out of pork. Oh, ain't nothing like a good pot sticker, girl.
And I found these frozen ones at the farmer's market in the Japanese and Chinese section.
Ooh.
And they're like, it's like shrimp and chicken mixed together.
I bet you that's everything, because it's probably very, very authentic. And probably some of the stuff they sell to the restaurants.
And you know, you can pan fry. Like, I use it like my pan fry. Mm-hmm. Girl, I will not share that with you. Sorry. It will not be shit. It smells so good, and I'd be like, nope. Sorry.
She said, nope, you can't have none of these.
That, and when it's in season, black cherries, I will not share that either. Love black cherries.
Oh, you might have to search and see if they got a black cherry gelato.
They do. I've had it.
I bet you it's probably delicious, ain't it?
Yeah, it's my top three Talenti one, but of course I only found it in New York.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's one of the things where it's not down here yet. Yeah. One thing about up north that I do like is because it's so many cultures. We're diverse down south, but up north is so many cultures and such a tight area that you are bound to eat things and experience things that you probably wouldn't experience down south.
Exactly. I really didn't realize like how, you know, so many cultures were together until mm-hmm. I went to New York. I was like, wow.
It's like a whole new world up there, ain't it?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I just was just so floored. I said, this is just crazy.
Right. And
I loved it though, you know. Yes. See all those different types of people all together, but it is like a lot of people.
Yes, in a really tight area, which could be good and bad, but it is a lot of people. Because like I said, we used to trees, we used to, you know, houses. You can get that stuff, but you have to kind of go outside of the major cities. Uh-huh. But you know, I'm not used to, you know, somebody living over top of a deli.
Yeah.
I'm looking like, what do you mean you live over top of a deli?
You girl, know? And then that with the trash, I was like,
right.
Wait, y'all put y'all trash there? Y'all don't put it out in the trash can? Nope. Really?
Right, right. And then like a lot of people up north don't understand. Down south, we're so spread out. So they were talking with the ice. I was like, yeah, because the cleaning crew can come in and clean like 100 square miles and you got the whole city cleaned. You can't right. do that down south. You have hundreds and thousands of miles with a road. They can clean the major roads, but they're not cutting in your neighborhoods.
No, they ain't getting them side streets. No. That's just too much. And then, you know, I mean, what, you gonna hit dirt roads too? No, right. They ain't doing all of that.
So that's why we shut down. Mm-mm. And you know, that's one thing I like about down south, honey. If you talking about a hint of snow.
Yeah, they will shut it down. And I'm all for that because I want it to be shut down too.
Right, because I don't want to be out there in it because you got wrecks, you got accidents. Because I think with last winter, we had that ice thing that hit y'all too. That ice mess that came by here, and honey, I parked that car.
Yeah.
And the thing about it, I think it hit like a Tuesday or Wednesday. I was out the rest of the week. I like PTO, do whatever y'all got to do. Y'all see me on Monday morning. I had me an extended vacation. No, ma'am.
Girl, that first time, you know, everybody remembers when it was that, you know, when everybody was like parked out pretty much in the parking lot mm-hmm. of, you know, all the major, roads in Atlanta when right. the first snowstorm came. So when they, and I will give Atlanta forecast this, they told them snow is about to drop at 12 o'clock noon. And when I heard that, I said, okay, I will be at work at 4 a.m. because I am getting off early. So I got off at 12, and people were like, why are you leaving so early? I said, girl, it's going to snow. Oh, no, you know, it's not going to be nothing. I said, whatever.
But, and so, did you, the weatherman state, like the National Weather Channel is in Atlanta, so what would make you think that people don't know what they're talking about?
Yeah, so I was like, I'm not taking no chances. I'll take chances at home.
Right.
So I literally, like, I seriously, at 12 o'clock, I thought I was out the door. I got my little stuff. Like, I drove. It was fine. It was, like, a little bit up, coming down. I stopped to the Kroger down the street. And, you know, it was really coming down by then. Got, you know, a couple of items. Like, you know, your little favorite thing because you know you're going to be in the house the rest of the day.
Right.
So, literally, because, like, where I live is, like, parallel to one of the major highways, 285. And by then, it was already like bumper to bumper.
Right.
So I'm driving and seeing all this from the side street. Like, girl, I'm about to be in my house in like 2 seconds.
Right.
Y'all bumper to bumper right now. And it is coming down. And like the more it came down, and then by 3 o'clock when everybody left out at the same time. And people got stuck. Right. I was like, see, this is what I'm telling y'all right. laughed. Why y'all leaving so right, early?
And picking, because the thing about that storm, Deidre, it moved quickly. And it moved even quickly here.
Yep.
Because the thing about it, it was like, it's going to snow. So I went to work. Nah. Peeked outside. I was okay when it first came down. But then I peeked outside. I seen it was sticking on the windshields.
Uh-huh.
I said, and I seen it was sticking on the road. Because at first when it fell, it kind of melted, you know, because the ground was, you know, warm when it first hits. And I picked that side, I seen that stuff sticking, It was about 11 something. I said, oh, I'm out. They said, you had home? I said, yeah, I don't know what y'all planning on doing. I said, but I'm not going to get stuck here because this ain't no joke. And when I tell you, within 30 to 45 minutes, it was covered. And it moved so quickly. I think it caught too many people off guard because it moved a lot quicker than most storms do.
Exactly.
And I was like, no, ma'am. I was like, nope, I'm going to go home. And at home is where I should stay. I messed around, took a nap, and woke back up, honey. And I seen snow a few inches, feet, however bad it was. I said, but it is, inches and feet is the same to me because my black ass dead in the house. So I don't, you know, it might as well have been feet because I wasn't going nowhere. And I was just like, no, ma'am, no, thank you.
I don't do that snow stuff, you know. So when it was like, oh, yeah, you know, it's not going to be that bad, that is fine. I will judge that at my house. I do not. You know, right. My car sits low to the ground. Like, I have a Mustang.
Oh, so yeah. You don't want to get stuck. So, I don't blame. And I think we had, went to the store before it got really, really bad and bought up food and stuff like that. Because I was like, we're going to be parked in here for days.
Yes. That's what we ended up doing. I think we got, because, you know, I work in the medical field, so, you know, I called them and I said, do I have to go in? Because technically, you know, if you work at a hospital, you know, you are like the fire department or.
Right, essential.
Yeah, you're essential. So, you know, I called them. I was like, do I have to come in? Because, y'all know I don't know how to do none of this. And they was like, yeah, we figured as much. They was like, you're fine. And I said, okay, good. Because. Well, until they clean some roads.
Right.
I'm not fighting that.
Right. I'm not spending the night and staying 3 and 4 days. No, ma'am.
Not doing that at all. Honey. I stay right where I'm at.
Right. In the safety and comfort of my own home. I don't blame you. What is the worst thing you've ever ate or cooked? You was like, ooh, this is nasty.
And I'm sure it's plenty of things I've eaten. And I was like, I'm not here for this. I still don't like watermelon.
Oh, you don't? I love watermelon.
I know I'm a black woman, and I know by default I'm supposed to like watermelon.
Oh, my husband don't like sweet tea, and I ask him all the time, is he black? He don't do tea. He be like, mm-mm.
Yeah, I don't do water. Like, and I, you know how you don't like things when you're little and you end up liking them when you're adult?
Right.
So I tried to revisit this watermelon and I was like, no, ma'am, I can't. It's just.
Is it the sweetness, the texture?
I think it's the texture, okay. The taste, and the smell. Like, right,
yes, because watermelon is very distinct. Do you like anything watermelon based or is it just like the fresh watermelon itself?
It's just fresh, because it's okay, like yeah. The watermelon, like I love the chewing gum watermelon from Extra, but I just can't do like the fresh.
Right, because yeah, it's something about the texture and the taste. Yeah, when I was a little kid, we used to eat the watermelons and spit the seeds out to see who could spit them the furthest. And the thing about watermelon, I ain't gonna lie, that's the most stickiest shit. You know, you little kid, you be behind it, you be so red and sticky and gooey by the time you get finished eating that goddamn watermelon. Cause you know, little kids don't be thinking about being cute. So you bite into it and the juice just flows down your chin and on the front. Everybody's shirt had a big old stretch chains of red and all that other foolishness. I feel you.
Yeah, and I would say, like, as far as for, probably one of the worst things I've eaten is, this actually was in Greensboro, and we went to this place that was supposed to be so world renowned for their soul food. Mm-hmm. And I think this place is not open anymore. So, and this is when I was in college. So we went there, and you know, it's crowded. So, you know, you're thinking like, oh, it must be really, really good if it's crowded. And, you know, just ordered, like, I think I ordered, like, it was fried chicken, and, you know, like, the collard greens, mac and cheese, mm-hmm. and, you know, they give you a side of cornbread. Girl. So, we get our food, and I was like, this is what the fuck you about to serve me? First of all, fried chicken was overcooked. So basically, it was just, they just left that bitch in there for like 5 years in a damn old chamber. It was hard. It was, grease was coming out of it. Like, grease was spewing out of the chicken. I've never seen anything like this in my entire life. And it was literally like, to the point of it, it was black. And it was like a leg quarter. Oil was coming out of it. So it was going on to the other side items, which wouldn't, it didn't even matter because they were all gross too. So the mac and cheese was Kraft macaroni and cheese. And I taste powdered cheese. I know.
Yeah, between that and real cheese.
You know the difference by now. Right. It was Kraft macaroni and cheese, and they also had it in those little box little noodles that come with Kraft macaroni and cheese.
Right.
It was that. Everything was just so disgusting. The collard greens were just nasty. They were mushy.
I bet you they charged an arm and a leg for that place too, didn't they?
They wanted to talk about this plate was like $20.
Right. And you're like, mm-mm.
The cornbread was hard. Like the cornbread, I probably could have made a yellow brick road down to goddamn Wonderland. Like that's how hard the damn cornbread was. And they're looking at me like, when I'm like, oh no, I can't eat this. And they're looking at me like, what? Like, I was like, I cannot eat this. Like, well, you know, I don't need a new plate.
Yeah, just give me my money back, right?
I don't want any of this at all. And they did not understand it. And she just kept looking around, I guess, to say like, bitch, you don't see all these other people eating? And I wanted to be like, no, I don't know what their taste buds are, but this shit is disgusting.
Right, right. And especially, but like this, for somebody that enjoys food and likes food, Deidre, especially, I guess you have refined taste buds, and you're like, this is nasty, honey, because
yes.
I've made macaroni and cheese, but I actually took the brick and scraped the brick. You know how you scrape the brick across the, what you call that? Not the cutter, but you know where it curls up at the bottom?
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about? And there's nothing like that. Now, that's when you know you got fresh cheese. You take your brick and you scrape it and it melts. Because I make like a sauce from my macaroni and cheese before I put with the noodles. And so I mix like three or four cheeses together and things like that. My aunt showed me how to do this. And you make a roux. You know, I've gotten better at the roux because, honey, I used to do it wrong. I didn't realize the roux was supposed to be like a peanut butter color. You know, like that's trial and error, you know, just to learn how to make that. So, you know, you make your roux and you add your milk, your salt, your pepper, and your butter. And in mine, I actually use, they say dry mustard, but I like yellow mustard better.
Me too. I like the yellow mustard.
So I put like a yellow mustard in it and, you know, with your roux and things like that. And you put the cheese in there and you mix it. But with this, you have to constantly let it stir because if you don't, the cheese will actually stick to the bottom of the container.
Yeah.
And sometimes I might use, you know, Velveeta cheese, but it's not the main base cheese if that makes sense. It's like in addition to the 14 other cheeses I have in there. But most time I omit it because honestly, it's not really good quality cheese. They've gotten better over time. Like it's not as bad as it used to be, but it's still, if you really want cheese, you need fresh cheddar, fresh mozzarella. Yes. You know what I'm saying?
You just gonna have to put in that work.
Right.
And that arm work and just thaw shred. I mean, even to the point where, you know, you can buy it pre-shredded, but I like to shred my cheese.
Right.
You know, I like that process. It just tastes fresher.
Right, and it tastes so much better, and you can tell the difference. So I like exactly. I like use the base. So for me, that's how I do my macaroni and cheese.
I'm the same way.
Right, it's excellent.
It's so good.
All right, you see, me and you on the same page. Well, one of these days, Deidre. For those of you that don't know, I ain't never met Deidre. Deidre never met me, but honey, as far as I'm concerned, Deidre is my everything.
Yeah, this is my sister. I haven't met her personally, but we have met multiple times.
That's how I feel too. And so it's just one of them things where when people come after me, I'm like, hey, don't mess with me. And I mean, when people come after DJ, I'm like, don't mess with her. When people come after me, they're like, don't mess with her. So it's just one of those things where we just got each other back because we completely understand how this thing goes. And it's just something about being women. And, you know, I think a lot of times, not trying to funny, DJ, they think we the weakest links, but what they fail to realize that we are some of the strongest people in the group.
Exactly. They don't get it.
Right.
They will get it once we curse their ass out. They'll understand.
Right. Yes, they will. Yes, they will. But one day I'm going to have to get down there with you and eat some of that food. Because y'all, when I went to, Charleston, Honey DJ gave me a list of some restaurants and they were everything. And when we go back to Charleston, I still think I got about two or three restaurants on your list that you gave me about a year or some chain to go. And I'm going to go to them and I'm probably going to ask you for some more. So, because that's where she's from. So I love Charleston. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm so excited about it. And like I said, I know I would definitely get to meet you. And
it's gonna happen. I claim by this year, at the end of this year, we gonna actually physically meet.
That, you know, that's our goal. We want to meet Chris. We want to meet Brandon and you and us and some other folks. And like I said, that's actually eventually that's the goal and that's what we're eventually going to do. That's what we're aiming for. So if y'all see pictures of me and DJ floating around, y'all know we met.
Yeah.
and we're probably gonna have chicken wings, drumsticks, sipping on a beer. Potato salad or something. Eating on sushi. We're going to be some food.
Whenever you come here, and I took Brandon here. Man, Brandon's obsessed with this place. I will take you guys to Vortex. So Vortex, it's a bar, and there's two of them, but I'm going to take you to the one in Little Five Points.
Okay.
And like the area in Little Five Points is very eclectic, artsy. It's like one of my favorite places in Atlanta. But the Vortex head is a skeleton with its mouth open, and that's what you walk through to get into the bar area.
Oh.
So they're known for their burgers. Like, Man vs. Food was actually, it did a Vortex challenge, and I think he lost.
Okay.
But their burgers are everything. Like, they're big. They're, you know, they're not dry. They're seasoned very well. And they have, like, you know, you can get, like, your cheeseburger and stuff. But then they have, you know, like, your black and blue. They got the black and blue has, like, bacon and mushrooms. But they do, like, blue cheese, like a glob of blue cheese. So it's a lot of blue cheese, but it's really good.
Okay.
They do, and they're known also for, they have a pork burger. So it is it's like a normal hamburger, but then they also put barbecue pork on top of it.
Yes, ma'am. They do the little fried onions.
Girl, yes, it is so good. Then they call it a coronary bypass burger, which is basically like a whole bunch of cheese and bacon, and then they put a fried egg on it. Girl. And I haven't had this one yet, but I keep hearing it's good. They have it called the Elvis Burger, and it has peanut butter, bacon, and fried plantains on it.
Fried plantains, yes. Mm-hmm.
And you can get fried plantains as a side. So their sides are like fried plantains, you know, the coarse french fries, and you can get tater tots. But the double coronary bypass, it is literally the coronary bypass with more stuff. And instead of bread, it is grilled cheese sandwiches. Yes.
Wow.
So the food is so good. Like, their appetizers are good. Like, Brandon is obsessed with their cheese ball. They have these fried cheese balls.
That's a date.
Yeah, that's a date.
When we make any plans to get near or around your facility.
I can't wait, we're
going to contact you. Mm-hmm. So for those of you that are listening out there in the Black Eye Who Tips land, go to Atlanta. Not only will you get food, you'll get a lot of big booty women, because, you know, down south, you know, it's a lot of fine, sexy chocolate women down south.
Yes, it is. It's a lot of big asses, real and fake, but they're still lovely to look at.
Ain't that the truth? So that's the PSA to the fellas out there and to the ladies. It's a lot of chocolate men out there too.
Yeah, so that's a lot of eye candy here.
Right. So that's the PSA. This non-food associated. Not unless you like doing foods with knowing some things when you in the bedroom, but you know. That's just a PSA for everybody. You know, do what you want to do. Love who you want to love. If you like it, I love it, honey.
Right.
So before we leave for the day, Deidre, tell everybody how to get back in contact with you and reach you again.
Okay. Yeah, well, if you want to ask me anything or even ask me about Atlanta, or if you want to meet up, if you're not crazy, you know, to any of these food places, my Twitter is Miss Music Lover, and it's MS Music Lover. I'm part of Where's My 40 Acres podcast. The website for that is thetearsoforphans.com. We do our podcast every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. You can hear us live on Spreecast, and you can just type in the search box, Where's My 40 Acres. We're also on iTunes, Stitcher Radio. You can actually listen through the website. You can listen to our podcast there as well. I am also in the process. It's not fully done yet, but it's getting there, and I'll let everybody know, and I'll let, of course, you guys know. I'm making my own side blog about beer and stuff like that.
Cool.
Just to talk about beer and talk about it in a more like how I was talking to you about it, like more on a, it makes it easier to understand.
Right. You know, you don't intimidate people and scare people
these
off.
Craft beer, like I'm a craft beer snob, but some of these motherfuckers are just too much. Like even when I listen in, I'm like, girl, y'all could have said this a little bit differently. Like
it simplified it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like they just do too much. So, you know, I want it to be, you know, very easy and for you to explore and try, you know, more than drinking piss poor Bud Light and La Marina's. I want y'all to do better. So, the website is called craftbeerkiller.com, but, it's not fully done yet, but when it is, I will, you know, tweet out links and let everybody know. So.
Yeah, please let us do. And you know, we love you and our audience loves you. And I can't wait to just get out. People are going to be excited. And this is a part of a Miss Music Lover that was not music oriented. So you got to see another side of her. So Deidre, I thank you for doing this and taking the time out of your schedule.
Oh, it was fun. It was just like us girls talking.
Right. And so this is why I love doing this. Cause like I said, I try my best to be really, really laid back. I was like, I don't like to stress people out. People hit me up. I'm like, do I got to take notes? You ain't got to take notes. You ain't got to read nothing. You just show up and we just talk. And that's the way I like it. Just really, really laid back. So for Deidre, I want to say, I love you, girl. And I'm going to see you soon.
Love you too, girl.
Those out there in the Black Eye Who Tips Land, that are premium, I thank you for your love and support. And this is another episode of Lip Smacking Good. Good night, guys.